Morning.
Good morning.
Morning.
I woke up, I rested. And for some reason, the suddenness came upon me. Probably because my flesh is dealing with the reality that it can't get out of it. And I really want to get a hold of my life. I really want this flesh to die this week. As you know, I'm speaking about fasting today. Real fasting. You want to look at two different forms of fasting that the Bible teaches. One of them talk about why do we fast, who do we fast to, what the goal and the objective of fasting is. What happens when we fast? What does Jesus say about fasting? And lastly, the Lord's fast. Going to be flipping back, but I'll ask Brian to list the scriptures as I call them out, so that can stop me from doing that. So Lord, we are just so grateful. So grateful for your word. So grateful for you. So grateful for everything that you have done in our lives. Lord, we just want it to be our desire to get as close to you as we possibly can. And whatever work that entails, to draw closer to you. That's our desire. We want it to be an overwhelming desire, Lord. We want it to be a desire not just when we're in church, Lord, not just when we're home, but when we're in our workplace, when we're hanging out with friends, when we're taking a bus somewhere, wherever we may be, Lord, I would like your that overwhelming desire to be close to you, to come forward from us all the time. Jesus, thank you. Some of what you're going to hear today I've spoken before. I've added a few things to it and spiced it up a little bit. In the last century and a half, per se, fasting hasn't been as popular as it used to be. The idea of fasting today probably seems strange to some churches. I was having breakfast with a friend of mine last couple weeks ago. He is a lover of Jesus. There is no doubt about it. And when I told him what our church was going to be embarking on this week, he just couldn't believe it. That he was just shocked that we were going to fast for a week as a church. He said, "Point, I fasted for 24 hours once." So, it's not a really common thing anymore. Fasting, however, is really important. It's not a major biblical doctrine. It's not even a touchstone of faith. But it is a really important thing nonetheless. It is a spiritual discipline that calls us to deny the pleasures of our flesh and to be filled up with the presence of God. Fasting is exactly what Jesus did when he was driven into the wilderness. immediately after being announced by a loud voice from heaven that said, "This is my son in whom I'm well pleased." Mark 1, verse 12 and 13. Let's read that. The Spirit immediately drove him into the wilderness. And he was in the wilderness 40 days, being tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild animals, the angels, and the angels were ministering to him. The first word after his baptism and the pronouncement of his sonship was immediately. This is the ESV version. Immediately. The Greek word for that is euthos. Euthos. That's expressing the suddenness or the immediacy of action. The immediate action of Jesus was the Spirit impelled him into the wilderness. The phrase translated "impel him to go out" uses a form of another Greek word, ekbalo. Ekbalo. It means to send out or even cast out. So Jesus begins his ministry by fasting. I don't have to say anything else today, and we would be able to do what Jesus did. If he fasted, we should fast. He was going to face fiercest temptation of his life, up until the Garden of Gethsemane. And how did he begin? He begins it by fasting. Do you think fasting is important? Fasting unlocks supernatural activity and spiritual sensitivity. The Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness amongst the devil, wild beast, and angel to do what Adam could not do, to resist temptation and overcome the flesh. Angels were there to minister to Jesus, but the beasts were there to feed on him. See, beasts or predators are drawn to dying flesh. What they didn't know, though, was that there was no flesh on Jesus to die. He had been fasting, his flesh was dead already. A beast was considered a non-sacrificial animal. Jesus was the sacrifice in this situation. He was coming as flesh. He wasn't coming as flesh, but he brought his flesh as a sacrifice. So we have two options for our flesh. Number one, we can let the beast devour it. 1 Peter chapter 5, I believe, says, chapter 5, verse 8, our enemy, Satan, is like a roaring lion, going to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. Romans 8, 13, if you live according to your flesh, you're going to die. Or, the second option, we can give our flesh to God as a sacrifice through fasting and prayer. This is what happens when we're fasting. We will be tempted, but the Lord is there to minister to us. And the peace that we face within ourselves just gets close enough to be under our feet. I dare say nothing gets the attention of Satan quite like when the children of God start to pray for God. You can say, you know what, I'm not going to watch TV today, I won't pray. That's not that big a deal. But when you pronounce, I'm going to fast and I'm going to seek the Lord, that gets the attention of the devil. He remembers his defeat in the There are three main forms of fasting mentioned in the Bible, with each involving literal abstinence. At times, the word can be broadened to include other forms of self-denial. This, however, does not change the basic fact and meaning that fasting means to not eat. Here's an interesting quote I read a couple days ago. Fasting without prayer is just a diet. Luke 4:2 and Matthew 4:2 say, after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, Jesus was hungry. Not that he was thirsty. It's plain from the mention of fasting in the New Testament, Jesus abstained from all food but not water. It seems clear that the detail given that our Lord's fast was of a normal fast. A normal fast is the first type of fast. It's the most common fast that we do. No food, solid or liquid, just water. A normal fast. Satan tempted him to eat but not to drink, which again suggests that the fast was in the abstaining from food, but not water. Facts prove that the human body can survive longer without food, but not very long without water. Now, it's very possible that Jesus could have been staying supernaturally, but that's not what the scripture indicates. One of the things, though, that we do, I have done it, as Christians, is we sometimes spiritualize things. Whenever there's a practical truth in the Word, and we either don't get it, or don't see it, or don't agree with it, we tend to play around with it. What happens is, when a truth starts to become vague or hazy or a contrast, it loses its potency and it becomes dull. And I don't know if you've ever cut wood with a dull axe, but that's a recipe for the axe ending up in the way. Because it just doesn't cut anything. That's what happens when we play around with that. Let me give you an example. This is a quote. It's not necessary to abstain from food, but from anything that hinders our communion with God. I'm going to fast from the computer. I'm going to fast from TV, alcohol, games, you name it. All of those things. But you can't just give up meaningless, worldly things and not replace them with God. We cannot give up things and call it fasting. It's fine to give up things, but the fact still remains, the The biblical definition of fasting is to not eat. The second type of fast that we want to look at is the absolute fast. The absolute fast. We have a few examples of that. The absolute fast is abstaining from drinking as well as eating. Nothing. Normally, this was never done for more than 3 days at a time. Probably because more than 3 days without water, you could probably physically injure yourself. The human body, once again, can go longer without food and benefit, but not without water. So Acts chapter 9, verse 9. Okay. Paul, on the road to Damascus, the Lord meets him. He goes blind, and he's taken away. For 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. He was on an absolute fast. The revelation that was taking place within him was probably of such a magnitude that he probably wasn't even thinking about food. We read in Ezra chapter 10, verse 6. I don't know if you know the story there. The Jews had specific instructions not to intermarry with the people in the bordering communities. And what did they do? They married people within the bordering communities and they took on their ways. Do you have that right? Ezra? 10 verse 6. Ezra spent the night neither eating nor drinking water, for he was mourning over the unfaithfulness of the Jews. Overwhelming concern drove him to fast, taking neither water nor food. He was distraught. And it caused him to take an extreme measure because of an extreme situation. Then Ezra withdrew from before the house of God and went to the chamber of Jehohanan, the son of Eliashib, or Elishia, where he spent the night neither eating bread nor drinking water, for he was mourning over the faithlessness of the exile. That was another example of an absolute fast. Esther 4:16. I don't know if you remember the story of Esther. She had a nemesis, Haman, whose sole purpose was to destroy the Jews. And he went and connived and had come up with a decree. And he was going to have King Xerxes sign this decree, without him knowing what was really in that decree. And Mordecai sends word to Esther. Esther is the queen. She's Jewish. So she wasn't going to be spared either. Interesting enough, though, that she could not just go into the presence of the king. She needed permission. Anybody that saw the king had to have permission. If not, you could be killed. So there was a risk. So when she heard about the emergency of the situation, she said, go, gather all the Jews to be found in Susa and hold a fast on my behalf and do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my young women will also fast as you do. Then I will go to the king, though it is against the law. And if I perish, I perish. The lives of the Israelites were threatened. It was a desperate situation. And Esther called for an absolute fast. Jonah, chapter 3, another example of an absolute fast. Verse 6 to 8. Here's another example of an absolute fast, no eating or drinking. We don't know the length of the fast. We do know that it included everyone, including the animals. The word reached the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne. So the word was, 30 days, and I'm going to destroy your land. He gets the word. Reached the king of Nineveh, he arose from his throne, removed his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. Verse 7, he issued a proclamation and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed or drink water. Verse 8, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth, and let them call out mightily to God. Let everyone turn from his evil way, and from the violence that is in his hand. An absolute fast, including the animals. What is amazing about this story is that The Ninevites, they were heathens. They were heathens. But they heard that they were going to be destroyed. So they, the king, did what was required. They stopped what they were doing. They stopped eating. They stopped drinking. And the Lord honored their commitment to humble themselves, to be obedient, to stop sinning. How much more do you think that we as the redeemed of the Lord get the Lord's attention when we humble ourselves? Exodus 34, verse 28. This is an example of a supernatural absolute fast. I don't know anybody that the Lord has ever called into this type of fast. Because of a very long duration, twice Moses was in the presence of the Lord for 40 days and 40 nights. He went back to back 80 days without food and water. Without question, the longest fast in the Bible. What's the conclusion of the absolute fast? Exceptional measures for exceptional situations. Something reserved for heavy spiritual emergency led by the Lord, such as demon possession. Remember when the disciples came back and said, Lord, why didn't we cast them out? And the Lord said, that kind cometh forth only by prayer and by fasting. There are strongholds that require prayer and fasting. That's a war. We begin fasting and praying. We are delving into heavy spiritual war. The last type of fast that you have an option of, and the Bible speaks about, is the partial fast. The emphasis here is upon restriction of diet rather than complete abstinence of food. At the beginning of the book of Daniel, we're introduced to Daniel and three companions. They had been selected from among the exiles of Israel because of their noble birth and their intellectual achievements. With a view that one day they were going to serve in the King Xerxes' court. These men, Bible says, purposed in themselves not to eat the king's rich food and drink his wine because it was probably offered to idols. So they asked the steward that was in charge of them that they only wanted vegetables and water. He agreed. But Daniel resolved that he would not defile himself with the king's food or with the wine that he drank. Therefore, he asked the chief of the eunuchs to allow him to not defile himself. So he got vegetables and water. Now, this was kind of risky for the steward because if these guys come up not looking very good, he could lose his life. Because he had no authority to do that. But at the end of 10 days, they were better in appearance and fatter in their flesh than all the youths who ate the king's rich food. Scripture isn't clear on whether or not there was any supernatural intervention, but it is commonly accepted that through dietetics that a simple and more wholesome diet is better than a rich one with all kinds of food. The partial fast allows a great many variations which have been tried and blessed and are beneficial. Many have partially fasted by omitting a certain meal each day, strictly limiting the quality, quantity of food consumed. In other words, you miss breakfast, you miss lunch, you have supper, or something to that effect. Vigilance is still needed to ensure that the value of skipping one meal is not offset by increasing the consumption of others. I'm going to miss breakfast, I'm going to miss lunch, and I'm going to eat enough for all of them at supper. That's what that means. Okay? So yeah, you have to still be as diligent if you are going to partially fast. Many have partially fasted by omitting a certain meal each day, as I mentioned. Partial fast can be of great value, especially when it's impossible to commit to a normal fast or an absolute fast. Sometimes you have health conditions, maybe diabetes or something else, where you have to eat at a specific time. That's allowable, and then you pass through the other periods of time. That's the flexibility of the partial fast. The partial fast can also be used as a stepping stone into a normal fast, so you kind of build into it. So why fast? Well, the obvious answer is Jesus fasted. It's extremely significant that the first statement on the subject of fasting in the New Testament that Jesus dealt with was the question of motivation. Matthew chapter 6, verse 16 to 18. The Lord isn't just concerned about what we do. He's also concerned about why we do it. the danger, a good act can be robbed of all of its value because our motive in doing it is not the right motive. Do you have that right? Okay.
I will turn there and read it for you. There it is.
And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. So much of our thinking is ruled by that self-centered principle of what's in it for me, what do I get out of it? Romans 8:17 says, I know that nothing good lives within me, that is within my flesh. So if I do something for what I'm going to get out of it, what's in it for me, that's not a good road to be on. If the cross is to have its way in us, God has to be centered in our lives. What else does Jesus say about fasting? Well, we read it in verse 16. When you fast. In other words, he took it for granted that we were going to be doing what we're going to start doing later today or tomorrow, depending on when you begin. Fasting is an expected thing that Jesus expected us to do. When does Jesus say we should fast? Matthew 9, verse 15. And Jesus said to them, can the wedding guest mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? The days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast. So when did Jesus say we should fast? When is the time? Well, the time is now. The bridegroom is coming. Jesus is preparing our mansion to come back. Now is the time for us to be praying and fasting. We are getting there. God's back. Isaiah. The question is, people ask the Lord that we're fasting, they said, why have we fasted and you have not seen it? They're asking the Lord, why haven't you seen this fasting? They were baffled. The religionists of the day were baffled that the Lord had not seen their effort in fasting. And Jesus quickly answers. Verse 4, behold, you fast only to quarrel and fight and fit with a wicked spirit. Fasting of yours this day will not make your voice to be heard. That's not what I've called you to do. You oppress your workers. Don't fast. Though their fast showed signs of piety, totally motivated by self-interest, like Bigfoot, and same self-centered principles of the Pharisees. In the New Testament. And
changes on your mouth. When you fast, don't be like the hypocrites. Paul cares for the hypocrites because it was only about the outward.
Fasting is done unto God. Even yet before the eyes of the Father to speak in secret. Even though we may avoid the obvious conceit of the Pharisees and the desire for praise of man, we can still act out of selfish motives for the gratification of personal desires and ambition. Out the motive in the glory of God. God reminds his people the acceptable fast is the one he has chosen. Is such the fact that I choose a day for building, humble in God? Is it to bow down his head like a reed and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Will you call this a fast and a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I choose to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the straps of yoke, to let your vessel free, and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover him, and to not hide yourself from your own flesh. God reminds his people the acceptable fast is the fast he has chosen. So in summation, we have normal fast, no food, solid or liquid, just water. We have an absolute fast, 3 days max, unless the Lord tells you otherwise. No food, solid, or liquid. No water. Abstention from all nourishment. And third, we have the partial fast. This is more restriction on diet than not on eating. Missing a meal, missing two meals, eating one or two things as opposed to a plethora of things that we may normally eat. Lastly, as we get ready to do this week, do not underestimate the difficulty of it. Maybe a challenge. Real challenge. These are some of the things that in Calvary we've written down to help give a little direction to things that you can be praying about and seeking the Lord about. Personally, seeking the Lord for what He wants from each of us. I think there's a time, now that we really have to get a hold of the Lord for ourselves, for what He wants from us, what He wants us to surrender, what He wants to bring into our lives. This is the time. Direction as we go forward as a church. We have lots of visitors. Lord, how do we minister to the people that you are bringing into our lives? We want to be praying and fasting about our lead pastor slash leader. We're not desperate, but we want to keep it before the Lord. We want to open up the door that the Lord puts in front of us. Just as Mary and Joseph checked every door before they found the door of the city was open. Okay? So we just want to check every door. But the Lord is our leader, and He hasn't left us leaderless. But we do want to be able to have somebody full time in this position. Another thing, the people that we know, especially people people that used to attend King's Fellowship, and they have left the King's Fellowship, but they also left the Lord completely. We want to pray for those people, our families, kids who are away with you, a return of the power of the Lord. The church hours during the fast, Monday to Thursday, 9 a.m., you can come here, and somebody will be here to pray, till 11 a.m. Monday to Thursday, 6 p.m., till 8 p.m., people will be here praying. You're going to have an easel, so that you can write scriptures, songs, whatever it is the Lord is, you really feel that the Lord has given to you, to give to the body. If you could put your initials inside it, it would be great. If you can put a context to the scripture, it would be great. It will help us to decipher it when we have our breakdown service with the Lord. Okay?